Hebrews chapter 3. Wherefore, holy brothers, who are sharers in the calling of heaven, doesn't mean that we're going to go to heaven when we die. It means that we have received a calling from God, from heaven in that sense, in the sense of being from God. Because the kingdom of heaven is going to come on the earth. The kingdom of God on earth is the kingdom of heaven on earth when Jesus comes back. So then, holy brothers, who are sharers in a heavenly calling, consider the apostle and the high priest of our confession, even Jesus, who was faithful to him who appointed him, as also was Moses in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, insofar as whoever builds the house has more honour than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. And Moses truly was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of things which were to come after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of our hope firm unto the end. So you've got to keep joyful. You've got to keep confident that we will be in the kingdom. And this is the good news of the gospel, that we should be able to say that if I die right now, or if Jesus comes right now, I will definitely be in God's kingdom. Now that is the good news. And he says that if you've got that confidence, then you have rejoicing in the hope. And you've got to keep that firm to the end of your life. That's the difficulty of becoming a believer when you're young, that you've got to keep on in that confidence, in the great hope, right to the end. And that's why you should respect really old believers who have held that hope all their lives. Wherefore, even as the Holy Spirit says, and he's now going to quote from the Old Testament, but he says this is what the Holy Spirit is saying. Now the Holy Spirit is the power of God. It's not a person, it's the power of God. And the Bible was written by inspiration. By inspiration, that is God putting his word, his spirit in his word. And therefore, the Bible in that sense is unlike any other book. It is the spirit of God, the mind of God, the breathing of God, the power of God speaking to us. And so when Paul quotes from the Old Testament, he says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, now he starts his quotation, today, if you will hear his voice, don't harden your hearts, like in the provocation, in the day of testing in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me and proved me. They saw my works 40 years, and therefore I was grieved by that generation, and I said, they always err in their hearts. They have not known my ways, and so I swear in my anger, they shall not enter into my rest. They didn't enter Canaan. So then, today, if you will hear his voice, don't harden your hearts like Israel did. And so, in that sense, the Bible becomes a living word. Because what was true in the today, back then in Israel's history, and was true at the time of David when he wrote the psalm, is true of the today, at the time Paul was writing to the Hebrews, and it's true today as well. So the Bible keeps on speaking new to us. It's a living word. Now, people say history is bunk. In other words, who wants to know about history? It's all boring. It's all about the past. I want to know about the present. And that might or might not be true, but when it comes to the history that God has written in the Bible, this is the history that matters. Because this speaks to us. Absolutely. All these incidents and biographies, the lives of people that are written here in the Bible, they all speak to us in some sense, and we see ourselves in them. So he goes on, take heed, brothers, lest there should be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in falling away from the living God, but instead encourage one another every day while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence firm unto the end, while it is said, Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, as in the provocation. So, don't have hard hearts. Have hearts that are soft to God. When you sin, and you do something wrong, and your conscience goes beep, beep, then have a soft heart, and pray to God straight away to forgive you. And don't become hard-hearted, oh, I don't care. I don't care what I do. I'm just going to do what I want to do. That's hard-heartedness. And in the end, it'll come to your destruction. For they, when they had heard, this is the Israelites, did provoke. They were hard-hearted. Did not all they that came out of Egypt by Moses fall? And with whom was he displeased 40 years? Was it not with them that sinned, whose carcasses, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they should not enter into his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Now, there's a lot of reasons you could give for why Israel didn't enter the promised land, not least because they were worshipping idols, they were doing all sorts of wrong things. But the essential reason was they didn't believe. And belief means to trust. They didn't trust. And we've got to trust God like you trust a father or a mother. You trust your mummy or your daddy when you're little. So it is with us and God. We've got to trust him that he wants us to be in his kingdom. He wants us to live forever and ever. And we've got to just trust him and put our hand in his and really believe that God wants to do us good at our latter end.